Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is Dawn Rieger. She's an outpatient therapist at Great Lakes Recovery Centers, the Hancock office. Dawn, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me today, Rick.
Oh, yes, we're talking before the show started. There's a lot of exciting things going on with the Great Lakes Recovery Center. Centers just really, we can even go back to almost a year ago when you first moved into your new office. For those who aren't familiar with what your center does, can we just start there and tell me a little bit about it?
Great Lakes is a behavioral health service. We recently expanded about a year and a half ago to the Houghton area, and we were located in Houghton, and last year we moved to the Hancock office next to the old Portage Hospital in the three-story doctor's office building. And just in the past couple months, we've expanded our services, and we're now offering mental health services along with our substance abuse counseling services, which is really exciting because, you know, it's always a needed service. You know, anywhere you go, there's always a need for mental health counselors and substance abuse counselors. So It's exciting to bring that into the area.
And we do hear that from time to time that our area is very much underserved when it comes to mental health services. For the small population that we have, there's a great need for it. It's as if there is just anywhere else you go. So in your time that you've been offering this, have you been seeing, I guess, enough people coming in?
Oh yeah, we've actually, our services have been picking up progressively over the past year. You know, initially it was a small start. You know, we were just starting to get our name out there and let people know that we were in the area, and we've been out making community contacts with everybody, and we're actually have been pretty busy over the past month to 2 months. You know, with regular referrals, people even referring themselves, and you know, just coming in for you know, depression or anxiety. Some people, you know, recognize that they're starting to have, you know, some problems associated with drinking or other substance use, and they're reaching out asking for help, which is always, it's a great sign.
Do you work in conjunction with some of the other services in the area, like Dial Help or Copper Country Mental Health?
Actually, yeah, and we've been trying to collaborate because, you know, not every agency is able to accommodate specific needs. And so with collaborating with our community partners, you know, we're able to work together and help make sure that we meet all the needs of the different populations in the area. You know, everybody from adolescents and young adults to senior citizens, adults, and children. You know, there's always a need anywhere you go.
When people come to your center, who are they meeting with? Who's going to be, you know, giving them the counseling services?
Okay. Well, there's two of us. There's myself. I provide mental health and substance abuse services. And then there's Ilea, who is one of our other counselors there. And she works predominantly with substance abuse. But down the road, we're hoping to bring her on for mental health counseling as well. So we'll have two therapists. And we're there four days a week at this point, Tuesday through Friday. And then we also have Kira, who's our business coordinator, and she's the one that everybody meets when they walk in the door.
Tell me a little bit about you and Ilea specifically. Why you're qualified to treat people when they come in?
Okay. Well, you know, everybody's got their own personal stories, you know, and I took a personal story from my family history and everything, and decided to move in a different direction. About six or seven years ago, and switched from working in nursing to becoming a counselor. And I went to college for a year down in Wisconsin and obtained my substance abuse counselor's education classes. And then I moved on to Concordia University, Wisconsin to obtain my master's degree in professional counseling. So I am now a licensed professional counselor on an educational limited license at this point until I have 100 direct supervision hours, and then I'll become fully licensed. And Ilea's a master's in psychology, and she's also currently working on her master's in professional counseling as well through Capella. And she's got some, you know, some family history too, you know, of, you know, that brings us, so we have that connection. We understand where people are coming from, you know. We've encountered it, you know, in our own lives. And so it kind of helps us have a better understanding. I think our clients are more open with us too, because, you know, they know that we do get where they're coming from, you know, whether it's from a family member or a friend or whoever, that, you know, everybody's encountered some kind of struggle in their life. And it's always nice to know that the person you're sitting there talking with has encountered their own struggles.
So two people, both professional, educated, trained, and ready to help. With what kind of services can you help with?
Oh, we help with just about anything. We do driver's license assessments for those people that are trying to get their driver's license back, following like an OWI or a revocation because of a substance problem or something like that. And then we also do individual counseling for substance abuse and mental health. And then we have group therapy as well for substance abuse. On the mental health aspect, trauma, depression, anxiety, I've encountered all those already. There's also other stuff that, you know, we encounter too, you know, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, marital problems, family problems, you know. I'm willing to jump in and help tackle pretty much anything that anybody needs help with. Mm. I can see children as well, you know, so the whole gamut of array of ages and populations, which is great.
There's a number of different directions we can go with this right now, but I'm gonna go here in that just recently I had a conversation with one of the local judges, and we were talking about inmates at the jail and how really a lot of them, if not a majority of them, are not there on a conviction. They're there going through their proceedings and stuff. And so many of them suffer from substance abuse and mental illness that is the root of, you know, a lot of their troubles. Yep. Is, you know, they need help. They need a place to go. They need somebody that understands, you know, kind of what they're going through. You take the drugs and the alcohol out of certain people's lives, and they are a completely different person. And with it, of course, they're, you know, the choices that they make in their sober mind would never make. And then you throw in mental illness, and that comes in so many different forms and can affect us in so many different ways. Depression, the anxiety, stress, but then some of the more severe, mental illnesses that people do suffer from that make it difficult for them to make even the most, you know, basic sound decisions in their normal life. And you wonder what kind of nutty person does the things that they do. Well, insensitively, you've just pointed out really kind of the problem that, yes, they are struggling with making those kind of decisions that, you know, you and I might make on a normal basis.
Absolutely true. One of the things that we encounter a lot, you know, with substance abuse is basically the brain has been hijacked. It's been hijacked by the substance. And, you know, it becomes a point where that's all the person can focus on, you know, is how are they going to get that substance the next time? You know, when are they going to use it? And it gets to the point where they don't worry about the consequences of the actions, you know. And so part of it of treatment is addressing that thinking process, you know, recognizing that the brain is wanting the drug, and that's where it's, you know, where the problem solving is coming to, you know, is how do I get that instead, you know. And when I use the term drug, I do mean alcohol as well. We kind of group them all together because anything that's mind altering has the potential to become addictive. You know, and then when you add in mental health problems in there, you know, there's a really strong link. You know, sometimes the mental health problems trigger the substance use because the person's trying to cope with the anxiety or the depression or whatever's going on. And then other times it's the substance that induces the mental health problem. You know, we've had people come in that they weren't depressed until they started using and everything started going bad, and then, you know, next thing we know, they've got depression on top of the substance problems. So we try to coordinate care and try to make sure we're providing both services at the same time if that individual needs mental health counseling and substance abuse, because that's where the evidence is based on, is that you want to treat them at the same time instead of treating one and then treating the other. It's kind of, you got to take care of both aspects at the same time.
If somebody comes to you and they have an issue that's probably greater than what you and ILEA can handle, are you able to refer them to other services that, you know, if they need to go into rehab or that if they need to, you know, go inpatient, stay somewhere, are you able to direct them there?
Absolutely. Great Lakes has a access center now that what we found was a lot of people, they'd call the individual office and they maybe wouldn't get the office closest to them. So we developed an access center, which is based at our administration office. It's 855 number. And all we got to do is start making phone calls. If somebody comes into my office and they're in active withdrawal, I'm on that phone trying to get them in some place so that I can, you know, I know that they're going to withdraw in a safe place and that they're going to be in a safe place. If it's something where we're medically concerned, you know, that this could be potentially life-threatening to them, because there are a few substances that can be life-threatening, then we try to work with the local doctors and the local hospitals and get them safe and then get them transferred to a treatment center, which Great Lakes themselves has an adult residential treatment center in Marquette that also has a social detox facility and a women's recovery house. And then we've got a men's New Hope House and a women's New Hope House in Sault Ste. Marie. The women's New Hope House is really great. I actually got to see it a couple months ago, and they've even got a daycare area for the kids, so that the kids, when the moms go, that the kids can go with them, and the kids get their own rooms. And then, of course, we got the Phoenix House up in Calumet, and then the Adolescent Service Center in Negaunee, which also has the LUNA program, which is a trauma-based program for children up to age 17.
Talking right now with Dawn Rager. She is an outpatient therapist with Great Lakes Recovery Centers and the Hancock office. You have an open house coming up, and we're going to talk about that before the show ends, but let's talk about it a little bit right now.
Okay. The open house is going to be on February 22nd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We've got some sponsors here locally that are going to provide us with some refreshments and some raffle drawings. And it's going to give people a chance to come into the agency, see our space, get to meet with the counselors and the staff there, so that if they do decide to get services from us, they know what they're coming into. They know what the place looks like. It's not this strange foreign place that they come in and they're, you know, anxious and feeling on edge. That they've already got an idea of who they're going to be meeting with, and that we're not these people that are just evil villains. You know, we're comfortable, you know, we're relaxed, you know, we try to be down to earth and pleasant, cooperative, and, you know, because our goal out there is to try to help people, you know, and we want people to know what we can offer and know who would be providing those services to them.
Now, we spent most of the first part of this interview talking about substance abuse and severe mental illness that people would, you know, could be benefited by your services. But when you started off, you named a number of other things that, you know, we call maybe more common services that people need to get, and oftentimes they don't want to.
Yep.
You know, whether it's marriage counseling or just, you know, for you know, we live in an area where a lot of people suffer from depression,
yep.
You know, and go about their daily lives, just sort of, you know, living with a day-to-day, struggling with that. There's a high rate, or, you know, I'm told we don't actually have a high rate of suicide here. It just seems like it because of our population, and then everybody knows everybody.
Yep.
But still, that doesn't soften the fact that when there's a suicide, there's a ripple effect, like throwing a stone in a water,
that absolutely,
you know, goes through the whole community and really kind of tears me apart a little bit when, you know, I've had friends of mine, you know, in this area that have committed suicide. And those services are there for all of us.
Absolutely. You know, we want anybody, you know, that needs services to be able to get them. You know, that is our goal. You know, we have EAP contracts that we work, you know, employers that we work with, where we can see, we accept a variety of insurances and whatnot, you know. As far as mental health goes, though, you know, dealing with depression and anxiety, those are some of the most common things that we see, you know, and part of that is just helping people figure out ways to deal with them, ways to cope, how to, you know, calm themselves when they start feeling things getting out of control, so to speak, you know, or working with families and helping them process what's going on with a family member who maybe is struggling or grieving, because grief is often a big, you know, a big aspect that triggers some of these other things, because it's a change, you know, whether it's a loss of a loved one, a loss of a pet, a loss of a job, loss of a support system, you know, it affects the person. So we deal with a lot of different things.
What about families when, you know, do you sometimes have whether a married couple or people with children coming in and seeking help for kind of everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. We do offer family counseling, marriage counseling, couples counseling, to just kind of help work through problems, help them get that communication going in a good manner. You know, frequently when the communication starts, you know, regarding a disagreement or something, it gets blown to about every aspect of the life, and the initial topic never gets resolved. So in that kind of a situation, I'm kind of more of a moderator to help make sure everybody gets a chance to express where they're at, keep the topic going, and making sure that what we're trying to focus on is getting addressed.
What is the toughest step when it comes to getting help with either substance abuse or acknowledging you have a mental health issue?
I think you just hit it right there. The first step is acknowledging it. Whether we want to admit it or not, there's a stigma out there. People still go back to the, you know, the mindset of 50s, 60s, even 70s and 80s, you know, where mental health was taboo. Substance abuse was even more taboo. You know, you're bad. You know, and you're not bad. You know, that's the number one, what we call cognitive distortion. I'm a bad person because I did this. No, it's because of this, which is a biological condition. You have an illness. It's not, you know, it's not a moral problem. It's not a belief problem. It's a chemical imbalance in the brain, you know, and part of that is helping them work through just understanding and accepting that. You know, we do encounter quite a bit of denial, and some of that's just exploring and helping them work through that process of, you know, okay, yeah, this is a problem, and, you know, and then it's, okay, great, now let's move on to that next step and let's start working on dealing with it. You know, let's tackle it.
I think it's probably a little bit more visual when you're talking about substance abuse. I had a roommate many, many years ago who was an alcoholic, and he would drink in his bedroom and just constantly have to go use the restroom or something. And by the end of the night, he was pretty much three sheets to the wind. And you ask him about it, and he's, "Oh, I haven't had anything to drink. Oh, I just had this cold. You know, he had this constant cold." It would explain his watery eyes and everything else. And I want to say probably the whole time that we lived together was only about a year, but never would ever admit that he had a problem with alcohol. I have also seen similar cases when it comes to mental health, because somebody may experience depression and not want to admit it. And everybody else knows, can tell that, you know, this is somebody who's really struggling, but the person who wants to hide it the most is the person suffering from it. They're the ones that don't want to come to grips with reality. And even if they suspect it, they're hoping to be able to keep everybody else from noticing, whether it's going to affect their job, affect their relationships, you know, how people look at them. You said about, you know, the stigma that is attached to it. So even if you've gone to the point where you realize you need help, getting help is still a tough step.
Yeah, I think one of the toughest steps that our clients make is picking up that phone, because that's the first step in recognizing that I've got a problem. You know, some of our clients are court ordered, you know, and whatnot, but others are by themselves. You know, I've had clients that are like just jumping for joy to get through that door because, hey, let's tackle this, you know, but a lot of people think that it's something with them. You know, there's something wrong with me because I've got this. No, there's nothing wrong with you because you've got this. It doesn't mean you're weak, you know, or anything like that. It just is something that does happen from, periodically, I guess. You know, it just, everybody has their time frames when they maybe are down more so than usual. But when we start seeing it happen for long periods of time, and then you start having changes in behavior or not being able to get to work, not being able to get up in the morning, or, you know, we start seeing other things and it's impacting their life. You know, that's when we really know that we got something here that needs to be addressed. It's not just I'm feeling down because I'm having a rough week, or I'm exhausted or whatever. It's, I'm feeling down all the time. I can't think of the last time I was happy or the last time I laughed about something, you know. We also see it, you know, people making an adjustment because I'm feeling down because I've got a major life adjustment going on. Again, that's different. That's different than true depression. You know, the true depression are those symptoms that just, they just linger on. You can't really pinpoint any specific cause or when it actually started. You just aren't there. And you feel down. And it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you or anything like that. It's just, it happens. We see a lot of it this time of year. The seasonal affective disorder, the lack of sunlight. I've even noticed it, like, in my family and my coworkers. You know, every now and then we get a little edgy, you know, and it's just like, ah, it's been snowing for so long. I'm tired of seeing the snow. It's like, let's have some sun, you know. Yeah. But we do what we can, and we, you know, move forward, you know. But there's nothing wrong with asking for help when you need it, because, you know, that's why we're here. And that's why I do what I do, is because I want to help people get through this stuff, because I know it is possible to get through it.
One of the obstacles that might prevent somebody from picking up that phone is worrying about what's this going to cost them. So let's just start with there. If somebody's calling you and say, okay, you know, what's it going to cost me? How am I going to be able to pay for this?
Okay. We do take insurance. Currently, we still are working on getting additional insurance carriers signed up. Medicaid we take, UPHP. With substance abuse, we have to go through NorthCare. Anybody with Medicaid, it gets cleared through NorthCare. They are contracted provider for the state-funded insurance programs like My Child. We also take Blue Cross Blue Shield and Block Grant. And as far as Medicare goes, unfortunately, you have to have very specific credentials, and I don't have those credentials, so I can't offer Medicare services. But we do offer those in Ishpeming, which is a bit of a drive. I definitely get that. So hopefully maybe in the future we can work on getting those as well. But we're still working on building up and getting funding sources on board. We can do what's called single case agreements with insurance companies if we're not a preferred provider. That sometimes takes a little bit of finagling with our billing department, but it has been done in the past.
I know that in the recent years, it's been acknowledged that that certain mental health services not being covered by all insurances is a problem. And it's, you know, I know that on the legislative level, they've been trying to address it and have made some strides. So there's still work to be done there, but, you know, hopefully that continues, because they need to acknowledge that, you know, whether it's depression, PTSD, or substance abuse, these are medical issues that can be treated. People can be made better, you know, if they, you know, just like if you're sick and you need to see a doctor, people can be made better, you know, through treatment.
Absolutely. You know, the one thing I always tell my clients, you know, treatment doesn't work by me waving a magic wand. You know, I wish it would, but hey, I'd be out of a job then too. But, you know, it takes investment by the client. The client has to want to try to fix things. When we get clients that come in and they're not invested in it, it makes it difficult. We see a higher rate of relapse. We see a higher rate of people dropping out. So, you know, we always try to encourage our clients, you know, what are those reasons you want to fix this? And, you know, how hard are you willing to work for this? I mean, because it's change isn't easy, you know, but it is possible, you know, and that's what we try to facilitate, is change and growth and in recovery, you know, whether it's from depression, anxiety, PTSD, or substances, you know, it is possible.
Now, there's only so much we can cover in a 25-minute interview. There's bound to be people who have questions that they, you know, they need to get answered. They need to get that first step, as we talked about. A good opportunity to do that is at your open house. So if you can give us those details again.
It's going to be on February 22nd. That's a Wednesday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. All of our counselors will be there. We're hoping to have our foundation coordinator with us, who is a big part of our marketing, and they kind of help put together some of the funding stuff to keep the offices up and going, you know, make them look nice and comfy. And I'm not sure, but I'm hoping that our director is going to be there as well to help, you know, be present and be out there and answer questions about what all we do. And it'll also give everybody a chance to meet the counselors and the therapists there, and our administrative people, and the, you know, that are going to be the people that greet them when they walk in the door.
If somebody can't make it to that open house but still want to contact Great Lakes Recovery Centers, how do they do that?
Okay, the Access Center is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and that's 855-906-4572. That's usually the first step people need to make if they want to make an appointment. If they have questions about services, they can also contact that number, or they can call the Hancock office at 906-482-7710. And we're located at 920 West Water Street in Hancock. We're on the third floor in Suite 6, and it's the three-story doctor's office building connected to the old Portage Hospital down on the waterfront.
Dawn, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.